Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today we have before us a task, a single word created by William, used five times in three plays across some 16 years of writing. From the tangle of treachery, papal power plays, and battlefield blunders found in his King John, through the blood and bickering between the houses of York and the Lancastrians that would see the War of the Roses depicted in William's third part of his Henry VI, all the way to the bloody cocktail of ambition, murder, and marching forests in his supernatural Scottish saga of Macbeth. Now, attempting to draw these tumultuous tales together might seem challenging. A difficult, seemingly insurmountable venture, a harrowing task that could intimidate even the most resolute and resourceful Bardolider. But if we stay the course, screw our courage to the relevant sticking places, and move forward directly and decisively and with, dare I say, dauntless determination, we'll do fine. It is indeed within William's three plays we find the first use of the word dauntless. The word springs forth from the rich soil of Middle English, sprouting from the verb daunton, which itself stems from the Old French dauntere, derived from the Latin domitare, meaning to subdue. The Latin root domitare is linked to domare, meaning to tame, and it is here that we find the seed of daunt and its related forms. To daunt someone is to intimidate or frighten them, often leaving them feeling subdued or conquered. The negative prefix un modifies daunt to create undaunted, which describes someone who is not easily frightened or intimidated. By extension, adding the suffix less denotes the absence of fear or intimidation. In Act 3, Scene 3 of Henry VI, Part 3, Richard, the Duke of Gloucester, reflects on his own wavering spirit, saying, "To leave my wife and my poor children here, to wander where I will, and never know the dauntless man who, with an arm of steel, would make me tremble." Uncle Will uses dauntless here, emphasizing Richard's perception of courage, contrasting it with the fear he himself is experiencing. Similarly, in King John, William uses dauntless in Act 4, Scene 2 to describe the quality of fearless bravery. "With our best prowess, we will go to meet the dauntless man, who with a dauntless heart has braved the seas." Fast forward to Macbeth, where Act 3, Scene 1 showcases the word in a slightly different light. Macbeth himself, feeling a touch of paranoia about his own position, remarks, "To be thus is nothing, but to be safely thus. Our fears in Banquo stick deep, and in his royalty of nature reigns that which would be feared. 'Tis much he dares, and to that dauntless temper of his mind he hath a wisdom that doth guide his valor to act in safety. There is none but he, whose being I do fear." And so he undertakes plans to murder his closest friend. Some 60 years later, in 1667, Milton would borrow William's dauntless while penning his Paradise Lost. And speaking of hell, in the Pacific, and fearless courage, we find the term aptly used for a specific aircraft during the Battle of Midway, responsible for sinking several Japanese aircraft carriers, the Douglas SBD dive bomber, dubbed the Dauntless. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.